When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Does sound quite look like a good year.
It does. You know, it sounds terrific.
Yeah,
and we're calling it the '20s, aren't we? They're calling it the Roaring Twenties.
I haven't heard that.
It's a little bit early to call it the Roaring Twenties.
Because the Noughties sounded a bit rubbish.
Noughties were rubbish.
And then what were the other ones though?
I don't think we had a name for the last decade, did we?
We've gone through a whole decade without actually.
Yeah.
What will history say?
I don't know. I don't know.
The year Britain went mad.
Well, it could do that, yeah. Although you've become a lot more relaxed since the new year.
Resigned, relaxed.
Well, no, but you look happy, though. You don't look unhappy.
Well, I'm looking forward to whatever comes next. No point being down in the dumps like
that. No. Will you be going to the Big Ben bong thing?
He's going to have a countdown clock, isn't he, on Downing?
Yeah, they're going to have a stage, basically. And they're going to play probably the sounds of Big Ben. But it is ridiculous. I mean, the fact that Big Ben cannot bong on the night.
£500,000
It's not £500,000. That's bollocks.
Is this something else you know for sure?
Yeah, of course.
Without any...
Yes.
Any...
Well, because it doesn't... If it costs £500,000 every time Big Ben bonged, right?
Yeah.
How often do you think it does it during the course of a normal day?
No, it's not. They restore the clapper.
No, they don't.
You don't take the clapper down every day.
No, why did they take the clapper down? Knowing that it was going to be used on January 31st.
Oh, yeah, because everyone knew that.
Well, they did.
Everyone.
They took it down
18 months ago.
No, they didn't. It was there on New Year's Eve. It rang on New Year's Eve.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yes,
there are two times it's allowed to ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't even understand why it's taken them about 28 years to fix Big Ben. I mean, I don't even remember what it looks like. I don't know about you. But when we used to go down to the old Tent of Shame down in College Green, and you come out and you just see these hordes of tourists looking up with absolute and utter disappointment and dismay. They couldn't see it.
You know Big Ben is just the bell.
Yes,
you?
I do know that. Yeah. I know it's called
St. Stephen's Tower.
But the point is everybody calls it Big Ben.
I bought my son
a Big Ben clock, right? Which works better than Big Ben does because it actually works.
It actually does something.
But no, they ring it out on Armistice Day, right?
Yeah.
Or Remembrance Sunday, one of the two.
Yeah.
And on New Year's Eve, they've got permission to do that. So they actually went to all the trouble of putting a floor in, putting the clanger in, right? New Year's Eve.
Oh, I see.
And then they took it out again. If that's not some kind of Remainer conspiracy...
You think the foreman on the job is a Remainer?
Of course. Yeah. And the Parliament committee that says whether or not you can do it.
Yeah.
Because first of all, they said... no, you can't do it. There's no clanger there. And then everyone said, well, hang on a minute. Why can't you just put the clanger back in? Oh, it costs too much money. And then they said, well, how much is it going to cost? £500,000.
Yeah.
And then they went, okay, well, we can raise that. And then Lord Ashcroft said, all right, well, we can find £500,000. And then they said, oh, well, even if you find £500,000, you can't do it because you can't use the money for that. So, you know, I'm sorry. It's just one thing after another.
It has got one of those sort of figures plucked from thin air rings about.
Yeah, and it'd be like, you know...
£1 million.
Yeah, you go... So where is the claim? We don't know. We don't know where it is. Oh, okay. Well, can we get another claim? No, definitely not. It's just like, you know, the dog ate my homework.
Well, who gives a shit?
Really? I don't give a shit, but it's now become a thing.
Evidently.
Because...
You're not going giving a shit.
Well,
manifest.
I don't care whether Big Ben bongs, right? Because what I suggested they do is just get an inflatable Big Ben, right? And just blow it up. Have it standing there. life size, that, right? Same size as Big Ben, yeah. but it's basically like a bouncy castle.
That sounds like right? a brilliant analogy for
and
Brexit,
then,
though.
Yeah, just it would
like
be good, wouldn't it?
Inflatable.
And then you could get a Romanian come along and stick a pin in it or something.
And all the hot air.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. But then you can have the sound of Big Ben, which is, after all, what it is. It's not really something to look at. You can't see it chiming.
Projected over the country.
Yeah, just
play it. Air raid sirens.
Well, I had that ridiculous vicar, didn't I? The bishop of whatever it was.
Dibley.
I think we talked about him last time. I wish he was the vicar of Dibley. He was about as stupid. He was this Remainer vicar who said that he's bishop, actually, Bishop of Buckingham, who said he didn't want to have the church bells ringing because it might upset a few people. And I'm delighted to say that now I'm now going to be one of the leaders of the new anti-woke movement.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to completely make sure that I can upset as many people as possible in the shortest period of time possible.
Mate, I think you're doing a good
job. Which I think I'm succeeding at, right?
You've nailed
but
that.
There's more and more people joining. Lawrence Fox, right?
Yes.
He was on Question Time last Thursday. I don't know if you saw it.
I did see it.
But I put out a tweet that night saying, God bless Lawrence Fox.
Right.
What a refreshing attitude to life, right?
Yeah.
Because it was.
I agree.
And
with
even if you didn't agree with what he said, it's just the fact that he went on Question Time, where hardly anybody interesting ever goes, and said something interesting.
I mean, look, the thing is, you can say, I think it's racism that Meghan's been hounded out.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be true.
I don't believe it's true for a minute. But you can say it if you're prepared to back it up with some sort of evidence.
Yeah.
But what you can't say is just, let's call it what it is, it's racism, now shut the F up.
You're not allowed to, and you can't possibly say anything like that.
And if you disagree, you're a racist.
You're a racist. And also, worse than that, the country's racist.
Yeah.
You know, that woman we've talked about before, Afua, whatever her name is it Afua?
Kirsch,
that's right, who was raised in Norway or something, and is one of the leading voices of this kind of middle-class blackness that we keep being told is underpinned by a terrible prejudice. And all these people have been to private school, they've all had posh lives, they've all got very nice houses, probably somewhere in metropolitan London, and they are not being discriminated against, and they've made very good money, thanks very much indeed, out of the media, which is clearly not racist. Now, you can say that there is an underrepresentation of ethnic minorities and black people in the media
generally speaking,
but it's not because of racism.
It's not. What I'd say is,
there's also hardly any white working class kids working in the media either.
That is true. And that's a big problem. I'd say I don't think the media is institutionally racist. I think there have been a plenty of racists in the media, and some of them in very prominent positions. I do. Yeah.
Do you think you've worked with people who are racist?
Yes.
Really?
No question.
Really?
No question.
I'm surprised by that.
Well, I've worked with somebody. Obviously, I won't say that person's name because it's probably defamatory.
Okay.
But you and I both worked with this person.
Okay.
And I think when we discussed this person after the podcast, you will agree, he was a racist.
Well, do you know, I think I know who you mean, and I'm not sure I would agree with
Well,
that
because I remember, well, okay, it's what form does racism take?
Yeah.
And I remember various conversations which went along the lines of, we can't stick him on the front page, he's black.
Right.
Right. And that was based on, you know, they didn't think black faces sold on the front of newspaper covers. Now, you could argue that that was a sort of commercial reality, and it probably was.
Maybe.
But nevertheless, it's a commercial reality grounded in racism.
Well, I don't know. You see, that's where it starts to get difficult, because I'm not sure necessarily that you can, in fact, define what racism is, because I think the trouble is that to lots of different people, they think it's a very obvious answer. It clearly isn't. I mean, a number of people, pieces I've read, the number of kind of comments that I've seen on social media, including one from India Knight, who said basically you can't know what racism is if you're white, which I think is a ridiculous premise
and means
absolutely nothing.
Yeah. I think, very unhelpful thing to say.
Yeah,
as
it's
well,
not helpful at all. Also, I think that it's a catch-all phrase that people use because they think they know what it is. I'm not sure. You know, if people are disadvantaged because of the colour of their skin, is that racism? Can you be racist against another white person? Probably yes. I mean, I could be racist, could I not, against an Eastern European person?
Yeah.
And that's racism, but it's not called that.
Well,
you know what I mean?
So it's
a complicated thing.
Isn't it making any sort of decision just based on somebody's skin colour or where they're from? I mean, any sort of decision. So when that when that woman shot back to Lawrence Fox saying, you can't know because you're a privileged white male.
Right.
And he went, oh, here we go again.
Right.
I think half the nation groaned.
Yes,
quite rightly. Because, like you just said, India Knight and that woman and all of that saying, by the way, if you're white, you don't have a voice in this debate. Well, I'm sorry. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
It's our country.
Yeah.
As much as it's anybody's country.
Yeah.
And if we don't have a voice in that, how do you think anything is ever going to evolve right. and get better?
Yeah.
If you won't engage in the debate or yeah. say, whatever you've got to say right. is meaningless.
And you can also say, which has been incredibly unhelpful, I mean, the other big story of the last week has been this Manchester police, you know, Pakistani grooming problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no question that they were racist,
yeah.
but they thought they were doing something good.
Yeah.
I don't know why they thought they were doing something yeah. good, but they made a decision based on the fact that there would be trouble somehow yeah. if they started arresting all these men of Pakistani yeah. origin. They've all got brown skin
yeah.
who are raping young women.
Which is the same thing that happened in Rotherham, of course.
Yeah.
Now, so here's the danger, is when someone like Tommy Robinson takes that and says, look, you know, it's not racist. This is a fact.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
all from, you know, India, Bangladesh, mm. Pakistan, and look at them. They're paedophiles, right. all of them.
And unfortunately, the actions of Manchester Police play into that.
They do, absolutely.
You yeah. know, so they've had the reverse effect yeah. of all of those things. And, yeah. and what we now know, because it is actually getting out into the open, is that not all paedophile grooming bangs are actually
of
gangs. They're
not.
Actually from Pakistan.
Of course not.
They're not all of Pakistani origin. There's an awful lot of them,
yeah.
and it's a big problem. But at least they're now getting caught and locked up.
Yeah.
You know, but there are people out there still who are saying it's still going on, and the police are still reluctant to do anything about it.
Yeah.
Now, that's the kind of racism that I worry about,
yeah.
not about the kind of racism that Meghan Markle may be claiming that she suffers from.
Well, I just can't. I mean, I'm sorry. We are on different places in the spectrum of
yeah.
that, but we completely as one, I think, about
yeah.
It is not about racism.
No.
It's a
and
people
and it
say
was.
It's about racism
it
are making themselves look and sound stupid.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's the idea.
How come everybody watched the wedding, you know, if it was about racism?
Yeah, but it's all, I mean, do these people think that there's some sort of committee of right-wing national newspapers who meet and say, hang on, wait, have you noticed?
We can't have this.
We've got a black person
yeah.
in the...
Yeah, we can't be having
now.
This.
How are we going to stop that?
Mm.
I mean, go back and look at all the front pages absolutely celebrating her
yeah.
when they got married. What was that just like a ruse?
Well, also look at all the stuff that Diana got written about her
yeah.
when she was around, you know.
Yeah.
And you might say that her treatment was even worse at one time.
Yeah.
Than it
oh,
was.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I mean, when she managed to get out of the marriage, that was when it started to turn
yeah.
around for her. But while she was still married to Charles, and things
yeah.
were being briefed by Buckingham Palace about her,
yeah.
and about how she was basically a nutter,
yeah.
you know, and she was
yeah.
bulimic and all
yeah,
of that
yeah,
stuff,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
made her look a complete maniac,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And maybe she even was, but the point is that she had a lot worse yeah. stuff written about her than Meghan's ever had. I'll tell you what I did see at the weekend, and this is, I don't know if it's, I guess it's an artist's impression, but somebody has invented a sort of flying train, right?
Right.
And it was...
Are you sure they've invented it or they've just drawn it?
Well, you might say they've drawn it, okay. But it looks pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'll show it to you after, right?
Yeah.
It was actually Alex Phillips that tweeted it out.
Right.
And it's basically, you get on this thing that's like a train, but it then transmogrifies into a plane, but it's still
right.
attached to the rail.
Oh.
So by, you know how trams work?
Yeah, well, by a sort of like cable.
Yeah, by
going
like
down.
A, going down, yeah. So it's like a
so
tram
why does
in,
it bother flying?
In reverse.
Why?
Well, because it doesn't take up any room on the ground, I presume.
But it's got a cable.
Yeah, but it's tiny. It's like it's like
yeah.
it's literally
it's
like
still sliced through you like a cheese cutter.
Well, it would if you were standing in the way of it. But you wouldn't stand in the way of it, would you?
But then your train might as well be there.
No, I don't think so, because it's a lot thinner
that would
than
be
a train.
That would be a horrible accident, that wouldn't it, if you saw like got like
yeah, what's, yeah, especially
done
if
in half.
Because it's so thin you didn't
yeah.
see it.
Just,
imagine that.
Just done like a piece.
I mean, because at least you can normally see a train coming.
You just peel.
But these, I mean, these are the kind of innovations that I want to see. You know,
yes.
in modern Europe and modern Britain,
flying
I want
trains.
Flying trains. Well, just different ways of getting around.
Cadillac-sized
seahorses. Yeah. Well, different ways of getting around. I mean, imagine if you are looking out this window that we're currently
yeah.
looking out of in about 20, 30 years' time.
Do you think there'll be things flying?
There'll be things flying around, won't there?
Well, yeah.
Like drones and
like
you
those,
know,
what do they call them in Star Wars?
Flying taxis. Well, I'm thinking more of the Fifth Element. You know, the one Bruce Willis is in.
Oh yeah,
where they're just literally kind of cars going
yeah.
flying,
yeah,
a bit like that.
What's the difference between a flying car and a plane?
Well, I guess a plane has wings.
Well, wouldn't a flying car need
wings? Not necessarily, because I think most of the flying cars that they've shown us
yeah.
up to now
yeah.
have been more like helicopters, like mini helicopters.
Right,
right. Why are you laughing?
Cars that they've shown us.
Well,
you mean people have drawn things on a bit of paper?
No,
and gone, look, it's a flying
no,
car.
No, they've got. They've
it's
got,
not. It's
they've
a
got
drawing
prototypes. No, they've
yeah.
got prototypes. They put one
yeah.
up in Dubai a little while ago.
Did they?
And it's got all these little mini rotor blades.
What,
on
like
it.
A big drone?
It's like a big drone, and that's effectively what it's going to be like. Okay, so I think a flying car is going to be more like that.
Like a massive drone.
Like a huge drone, but not that huge, because it's mostly going to have like two seats in it and probably nobody driving it.
That'd be quite good though, wouldn't it?
Well,
it,
apparently you would be able to get around a lot quicker.
What about the noise pollution though? Everything would go bzzz.
Well, I don't know, because presumably they're all going to be electric, right?
Yeah.
So if they've got a motor,
it's still going to make the same noise.
I don't know if a helicopter was electric, would it make any noise?
Of course it would. The noise is the engine. It's the bloody rotor blades.
No, it's the engine.
It's not.
Are you joking?
I'm serious.
Really?
100%.
Okay. Well,
the noise is the rotor blades.
Well, how come an electric car doesn't make any noise?
Because it doesn't have any rotor blades.
Because then it would be a flying car. But hang on, a glider doesn't make any noise. Does it?
No.
Whereas but a plane
again,
does.
A glider doesn't have any rotor blades.
No, but a plane doesn't have any rotor blades. It makes a fuck of a lot of noise.
Yeah, but it's got two jet engines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So without the engines...
I'm not saying the engine doesn't make any noise.
If you watch a helicopter sitting before it's taking off, right, and you see the smoke coming out the back of it, because that's where the exhaust is, near the back
end of
it. I know
where our bloody...
Yeah, all right.
Why the smoke coming out.
Yeah, well, that thing's making noise because it's an engine.
Yes, it's making some noise.
So if you took that noise away, it would be making a lot less noise.
You wouldn't notice if you took the engine noise out.
Are you sure?
Apart from the fact that the rotors wouldn't be turning red.
Well, they would if it was electric.
Not if you didn't have an engine. But anyway, it would make the noise.
No, but you're telling me you can't have an electric helicopter?
I'm not telling you anything. I'm sure you can if you draw it on a piece of paper and wave it around.
I'm going to show you this thing now because I'm fed up with you being such a doubting Thomas. No, you just don't ever believe anything I tell you. All right, now, this is amazing, right?
Are you going to show me this artist's impression?
I'm going to show you this incredible thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Excuse the dead silence. Right, let's see.
See, look. Look at that. That looks real to me.
Wow. That looks... Well, yes, I know it looks real to you, Mike.
I mean, it's
computer.
Look, this is how it works, right? So you get on the train carriage.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a plane.
That's right.
But see, look at that.
Yeah.
But and there's nobody's like getting cut in half with a cheese
exactly
cutter.
It looks exactly like a plane, but with a cable.
So what would be the point?
Let me tell you this for a fact.
So what's the point of it?
I wouldn't get on one.
Wouldn't you?
No.
What's the point of it then?
Do you know the thing that excites me is the Elon Musk's idea with the big tunnels?
I don't fancy that.
Because of the earthquake potential.
Well, one, there's the earthquake potential. Two, what about the potential for there to be a crash of some description?
Yeah, it wouldn't be nice because you're going about 600 miles an hour, aren't
you? Yeah, well, so imagine cleaning that up.
It basically, well, you wouldn't have to, I mean, you'd just be
vaporized. Well, yeah, but you wouldn't be able to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And you'd be stuck in an underground tunnel for hours on end.
Yes.
Right? And there's no way out.
No. Oh,
so,
my God.
I don't fancy the idea
That'd
of that
be,
at all.
Make a great film, wouldn't it?
It would.
I spoke to a motoring writer that I know the other day who said to me, we were talking about just the kind of ludicrous expense of some cars and, you know, why they're making, you know, why would, for example, Rolls-Royce now make a 4x4 Rolls-Royce?
Yeah, and they're
which
so
is one
ugly.
Of the ugliest looking things.
Terrible.
And the 4x4 Bentley as well.
It's just
it's
a
horrendous, right?
Looking car, yeah.
But this guy who's in the business of writing about cars all the time, you probably know him, but I won't mention his name because he didn't want anyone to know that he knew this. But he went to Rolls-Royce to talk to them about this new car. And apparently, Jay-Z had turned up in the sort of Beverly Hills outlet of Rolls-Royce with a bag. And in the bag was $150,000 worth of diamonds, which he wanted them to implant into the dashboard of the car that he was buying for his wife. I mean, what is the point of that?
Please.
Isn't that just ridiculous?
That's mad.
Doesn't that, which brings me on to another film, because I watched Joker at the weekend.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I could not believe how good it was.
It's amazing.
It's the greatest film I think I've seen.
He is extraordinary.
Certainly the greatest film I've seen this century.
Yeah. Do you know what I felt about it afterwards was that it felt like, you know when you go to an amazing theatre production and you feel like it's there happening in front of you?
Yeah.
That somehow he manages almost to come out of the screen.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a great theatre show.
Well,
he's
the final scene when he gets on top of the cab
and
just realises that he's just started a movement.
Yeah.
But you know what I saw in it as well, and you might think I've gone a bit mad, I saw a kind of similarity to the whole Brexit movement.
Right.
Because I saw that, because I was watching a sort of mini documentary about Davos the other day, and there's a guy who's a Scandinavian economist, I think, can't remember his name, but he was basically chucked out of one of their sort of symposiums.
Yeah.
Because he made this big speech about, he said, forget about
all tax.
This. Yeah, the tax guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
He said, talk about tax.
Yeah, all this philanthropy is bullshit.
Yeah.
Don't tell Bono to come here. Don't come here with your ideas of how to save the world in your private jets. Yeah. Don't tell us all about how you're going to set up a...
Yeah.
You know,
this
a,
was last year.
Yeah, Davos, yeah, it was. But this year he didn't get to go.
Right.
Because of it.
And he went on Fox News with Tucker Carlson. You should get it on YouTube.
Yes.
Tucker Carlson, who's like one of the...
One of the sort of Sean Hannity types.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I find him very, very entertaining to watch, but obviously disagree with most of what he's saying. But Tucker Carlson got him onto the show and pre-recorded the slot and ends up telling him to F off, you stupid twat.
Right.
And because he does
he's
the
all
same
about
thing,
putting up tax.
And he does the same thing to Tucker Carlson and he exposes Carlson as being a massive hypocrite as well, and Carlson loses it completely.
Really? It's that's interesting.
Very funny.
But, you know, this whole idea that the three rich kids get murdered on the subway by a joker because they're harassing a woman and that he's overprivileged little wankers and suddenly all the sort of ordinary people, the trolls and the kind of the plebs signed with the joker because they're sick to death of the rich and I see something of that.
No, I agree with you
about what we've just been through.
It's like the, what was that film with Martin Sheen where he goes on the rampage?
You mean Falling Down? Yeah, it's not Martin Sheen, it's Michael Douglas.
Yeah. Sorry. And he's you know, and the great empathy is with this guy, you know, who is just finally doing what everybody's thinking.
Yeah.
You know? And life is full of these frustrations that we, you know, park, if there was an anti-parking attendant movement, I'd be right up front with my placard.
Yeah.
I know it's not their fault, but I would be happily corralling them.
Yeah, but just the kind of absolute and utter intransigence.
Yes.
I mean, funnily enough, we were watching it with the kids, and because it's a 15, and we let the 13-year-old watch the 15. You know, don't come and arrest me, whoever the film police are, you know. And
did they check you when you... Did they ask for any age when you went in?
No, this was... We watched it at home.
Oh, right. Oh, no, it's up to you.
My older son had gone to the movies and seen it already once with his friend. But we watched it at home.
Yeah.
And there's a point... There's one scene in it where he's being sort of... Where he's, like, screaming and nobody understands it.
Yeah.
And the youngest mother said to him, is that how you feel at school? And he went, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God.
They don't understand me.
Wow.
That's powerful. There was so much
that
came out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Where, and she was really sympathetic I said, how can he be sympathetic? He's a psychopath. He's a maniac.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I feel sorry for him.
I think we've all got a bit of psycho in us. And maybe that's what civilization is the ability to hold that down.
Well, I think that's a very thin veneer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the way that it all went out of hand.
Yeah.
So quickly, with all these people painting their faces. I mean, that's not very far from what can happen here.
Definitely.
I mean, I don't want to sound, you know, overdramatic, but my dad used to say to me, we grew up in Hampstead, very nice part of the world. We didn't have any money because in those days you didn't need to live in Hampstead. My dad rented a flat, you know. But I remember him saying to me one day, he said, you know, if we don't sort society out, people will just come here and take stuff.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of the riots.
And they just went, I'm going to have that. I'm taking that TV.
Yeah.
You know?
Talking of abuse, that girl from the Washington Post apparently got terrible abuse and death threats.
Death threats and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, what is wrong with people?
People have gone mad.
Yeah. But I mean, this is why.
Do you think they were mad before Brexit? Or is Brexit
I think social media has kind of amplified the madness. Because if you remember, I was going to ask you back to our days in newspapers about great mistakes that were made, you know, because we could talk, of course, about the fake pictures scandal.
Yeah.
Because I was in America when that happened, right? And I've always believed that at the very least, Piers must have known that those pictures were fake.
No way.
Are you sure? No way,
100%.
Because I took one look at them. I got on the plane, right? And I was flying back to London. Yeah. And I was still working for the Mirror, I think, in those days in Scotland. And I saw them reproduced in the Daily Express, and as soon as I looked at them, I thought, they don't look right.
Well, my dad phoned me that morning they were printed and said, there's something not right about that
photo. They were too clear, right?
Yeah.
They were far too professional looking for it to have been taken on somebody's phone.
Well, I can give you the backstory on that. Because I was editor, the features editor at the time, right? And the news desk had those photos. They'd come by those photos from these two military people who had stitched us up.
Right.
We later found out.
Right.
Although, I'll caveat all of this by saying that what those photos showed happened. Oh, yes. Sure.
There's no question. The Queen's Lancashire Regiment, I will say to it, and I will defend Piers Morgan to the ends of the earth, not just because he's our friend, but because he was a great boss, he was a great editor.
Correct.
And, you know, as he said at the time, it was a depiction of something that actually happened.
Yeah. So, well, I think, so at conference, morning conference, for days and days and days, the news editor was saying, we've got these photos, and no one really knew what he was talking about, because only he and Piers
Because very few people saw them, right, even up to the end.
And to be honest with you, I'd sort of got bored of trying to understand what these photos were, and it would come up, and then eventually I was off.
Yeah.
And then they were published. I was always off when they made a huge mistake. You see,
well, you see, you shouldn't take so much time off. I've often said this about you, Matt. Yeah. You know, you've got to stay in the office. Yeah. You know, talking about Lord of Dollis, you've got to earn the crust.
You're right.
And you've got
Absolutely
to turn
right.
up and do what you're supposed to do.
I'm going to turn up a bit more.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were published. Mm. And then, of course,
And when did you first see them then? That morning?
That morning, yeah.
And what did you think?
It didn't occur to me that... I think when you're in the newsroom, you sort of... Well, that, I think that was the problem with the whole thing, was that... You want to believe it, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, you want to believe it. I don't think there are enough checks done.
Right.
And because I think, you know, had we taken them to a friendly expert in military intelligence or something like this, and they'd looked forensically at the photo,
right,
then at some point they'd have said those vans, those trucks weren't used in the desert.
Yes.
So, and which was the defining...
That was the defining thing.
You could tell by the sort of ribs on the side of the truck that it was, I think it was a Bedford
truck. So what was the deal with the guys that sold you the picture then? Were they just interested in making money? What was their deal?
No, I don't... I honestly, to this day, I've got no idea. Mm. I think the news editor would know.
Yeah.
Connor.
Yes.
And Piers will say...
Well, he was one of the ones who was in the inner circle, wasn't he? In terms of the one of the ones that saw it. Because I think the other thing that people forget about newspapers and about mistakes that get made is that there's so much going on. And you are in a position where you have to make a split-second decision effectively at some point or another, right, about whether a story's right. And I was, we didn't get this particular story wrong, but I thought I was going to have to lose my job over this, right? This was when I was at the Express and I'd just been made night editor.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'd just been made deputy night editor or something. But anyway, it was a Friday night and I was in charge of the paper. And it was an early kickoff, you know, because they had to go because they had the magazines and everything. So we had to be off stone at something like 6 o'clock with the first edition.
Yeah.
And at about 5:30, 5:45, we got the story through about the Canadian DJ who prank called the Queen.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And so, of course, the news desk were going absolutely mad. This is great, you know, and I'm going to go in. And what I should have said was, well, we can't get that in the first edition. It's just not going to happen. But because I was less experienced, perhaps, than others, I decided to wait for the story, right?
Right.
And, of course, at about 6:15, I was getting phone calls from the press people down in... it was down in sort of West Ferry, I think it
Same
was, where they used to get... Saying, if you don't get the paper to us in the next 5 minutes, it's not going to come out.
Really?
And I'm like, what? Because I was like, you just thought there's a certain elasticity of production. And they're like, no, because we've got to print like another paper, you know, in about an hour.
Yeah.
And they were printing The Independent or something.
That's right.
I said, well, you're fucking enough to just wait for it. And they're like, no, mate,
no, we won't.
We won't wait for it. And if you miss your slot, the paper ain't going to come out. And I don't know what that's going to do for your career, but it's not going to be pretty. And I'm going, oh, Christ, you know. And I eventually got it to them about 25 minutes later.
Yeah.
So it was much later than it should have been. It didn't go horribly wrong. I was expecting to come in on the Monday and be literally not only bollocked, but charged and made to pay for some ludicrous amount of money because it had all gone horribly wrong. And nobody said a word.
That's brilliant.
Nobody said anything.
But you'd had those sleepless nights.
But I'd had the sleepless nights Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. We got it in as a splash, you know. We did it up as a 1-4-5. I mean, at least I had the sense to only do it and turn it into two, but at least we got it on the front page. Because it's one of those businesses. And imagine if that had been wrong.
Yeah.
Imagine if the story's just been a load of bollocks.
I've never had so many sleepless nights in my life as I have when I was late night editing The Mirror.
Yeah.
When you were the last guy in charge and you know.
And stuff always happens.
Stuff always happened and I always loved changing it.
I got put in charge when I was like the third man. So I was late night editor, I think, on The Express. That was when I first started.
Yeah.
And the Oklahoma bomb went off.
Yeah.
And I was like, Christ.
Yeah.
You know.
Rip it all up.
Yeah. Just start again.
So anyway, so Suzanne Vega, I thought, well, this is great because everybody loves that song, right? It's a really cool song. She was doing, I think, the show in the evening or something. So we ended up having to do it in the afternoon, which we actually ended up being a good thing because we were live streaming it to a lot of people in Britain. But people were, I mean, a couple flew from New Zealand.
Really?
To come and see That's us. Amazing. I mean, it was unbelievable, yeah. Right? Anyway, this guy, about a week before the show, gets in touch. He says, Mike, I'm really sorry, but I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to make the show. I've had to sell the tickets because, and he lives in LA.
Yeah.
He said, because I've just been, you know, offered a really good job. I can't really not do it. And I said, and what's the job? He said, it's a drummer with the Jonas Brothers.
What?
And I was like, what? So I have no idea who this guy was even a musician. God, anyway, so last week, he's on Twitter and stuff. And his name's Demian. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
And I've never met him.
Right.
But he tweets me and he goes, listen, we're in London next week. Would you like to come and see the band?
He's still with them then, obviously.
Yeah. He started like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they've just done this new tour. Yeah. And he's just been in Dublin and Birmingham and he's doing the O2.
Amazing.
And I said, well, I'd love to. But I didn't realise it was actually this Sunday because it was quite a busy weekend.
Yeah.
And he was nice enough to get two tickets. So I said to my oldest, Oliver, 15-year-old, I said, do you fancy going?
Yeah.
So in the end, I drove all the way down to Sussex on Saturday morning after the all-night drinking session, came all the way back up on Sunday. And we went to the O2, and they were fantastic.
Were they, yeah.
And he was so sweet. He came out, because I said, you know, I wasn't expecting him to give us backstage passes. You know these American bands
are
like.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I went to, I told you that story, going to the U2 recording studio. I mean, the management, they're just kind of looking at you like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
You know, so I could imagine they'd be even worse.
Yeah.
So he came out into the kind of body of the O2, just as you go in.
Yeah.
Gave him a t-shirt, gave us two tickets, fantastic, which were literally right by the stage.
Amazing. What a nice guy.
Really nice. But then...
And you'd never met him before?
So it was never met him.
Just
a
fan.
Yeah, and he explained to my son why he listened to me and how important it was that you have to listen to other people. He said, I don't agree with them, your dad says.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've always loved the way he talks to people.
Yeah.
And then we talked about Arsenal. Fantastic. And he was getting some of the Lionesses down because he's never been to the Emirates. And funny enough, I told him about you.
Yeah.
Because I said, a friend of mine lives right next to the old Arsenal. I said, you've got to come and see it.
Yeah.
So I've taken pictures of it today.
Fantastic.
Which I'm going to send him.
Well, and the new Arsenal's just...
Well, he's going to go to the new one. Yards, he's going to the new one with the Arsenal girls.
Brilliant.
Because he's invited all of them down to the Jonas Brothers tonight. Because I think they're playing Wembley Arena.
Are they?
And just an amazing experience because I was. And the funny thing as well about it was that it was me, my son, and about 20,000 teenage girls.
Yeah.
Right, because they're a kind of boy band,
yeah.
But actually a lot better than that.
Yeah,
and there were a few blokes staggering about who looked really embarrassed to be there.
Yeah,
it was quite funny.
And did your son like it?
He loved it.
Yeah,
because it's the first ever concert he's ever been to.
Ah,
but of
fantastic.
Course, it's a bit like his experience at the Wembley. When I took him to the Olympics for his birthday, we got tickets to one of the games in the Olympics at Wembley, and we had our own box. I think I've told you that story.
Yeah,
and I had
I'm
to
not
say
sure you have actually.
Hey? No, have not.
I don't think so.
Well, we went in. It was one of those. It was 2012, so he was quite a bit younger. And it was the sort of early stages of the Olympics, and we just went online and saw what was going on, and we got tickets for, I think it was something like Mexico against Colombia or something like that in the at Wembley Stadium. And we get to Wembley, and you know what it's like, you go inside and there's escalators, and I'm looking at the ticket and the escalator going up, and then we go and I keep going up and keep going up and up and up until we get to the executive floor. And I'm like, this is nice, it's all hushed, you know, carpets, the doors, and I keep following the signs. Finally, open this door. It's a box.
Fantastic.
Which there was nobody in, so there was no bar or anything. Yeah. But I mean, basically, we had our own toilet.
The two of you?
Just the two of us. Right? And we go out, and there's like six seats outside.
Fantastic.
There's sofas inside.
What a result.
If you'd opened up the covers, there was probably packets of crisps and things.
Yeah.
And I said to him, it's not like this all the time. Yeah. I said, the next football match you go to, it won't be like
someone
this.
Someone will be pissing down your
trousers. So, of course, his first ever experience of a music show, he's sitting in front row B, front and centre.
Yeah.
The guy on the percussion is waving to him.
Yeah.
No, because the guy could see us.
Yeah, fantastic.
Right. And you know, I'm just and we didn't pay for the tickets.
Amazing.
Well,
so
you know,
it's not always like this. So.
I said, you know, it is really nice. In the mosh pit, you know, down in front of Dingwalls, you're not going to be doing this.
Well,
but it was a great Sunday night.
He's only 14, but he's into hip hop and rap. And
is he? Yeah.
Very much so. And
does he go to live shows?
So he went to see some fella called, oh God, I can't remember his name now. But it was a tour where all the tickets were a fiver.
Right.
And he's like a hardcore.
Is he a sort of local
rap
star? London
Yeah, he's
guy.
A British. I think he's from London. And of course, Theo, being like a loon, starts throwing himself into the mosh pit and loses his bloody mobile phone. Thank you very much. Which is after a week.
Yeah.
And then blames me for the fact that Vodafone won't hand us another
one. This is what they're like, isn't it?
Yeah.
We came out of the O2, and the last time I'd been there had been to see you two, and actually I had access to a lounge, because the trick there is if you can have a drink for half an hour, the crowd's all gone
right
into the tube. But we couldn't do that this time, right? Yeah. And we could have hung around, because Demian said, if you want to hang around for a while, he said, I don't know how long I'll be, but I can maybe come out. And I didn't really want to do that, because it was late.
Yeah.
And he had to get back to school, so I had to get up at like 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we're walking out, and the guy, and of course there's a big queue to get into the tube, and he's kind of looking around. I'm like, what's up? He's like, isn't there another way? I said, well, no, there isn't actually. I said, I'm sorry I haven't organised Cadillac Escalade S-class. For you, or maybe a powerboat or the river.
Yeah.
He said, well, what about the boat? I said, well, the boat will be just as bad, and the queue will be just as bad, and we have to get two boats to get home. I said, it'll be fine. Yeah. But he was clearly not happy.
It was your fault.
Yeah, it was my fault for not organising transport. You know. And then at one point he said, rather like the Thought Police podcast, he said, well, maybe one day we'll have, you know, human transportation. Well, what do you call it? Not transportation.
What do you think that
is? You know, the thing that they do on Star Trek.
Teleportation.
Yes, I'm sure. I said, yeah, but you know what would happen if it was organised by British people? There'd still be a transportation station. You'd have a teleportation queue that you'd have to wait in line for. So you'd be better off just getting the tube.
Definitely.
You know. And then we ended up having that conversation about flying cars. I was telling him about what you and I had said.
Yeah.
And he went, well, yeah, but why would you have, if you had flying cars, you wouldn't have regular cars, would you? I said, why not? Why would you be such a fascist about, you know, means of transportation?
Yeah.
Why would you not have all sorts of...
No, but I can see his point. Why would you want one if you had a flying car?
Well, because I said it would be less crowded on the road, wouldn't it?
It would be.
And also, not everybody could afford it.
Also, if the engine on a non-flying car breaks down, you don't fall.
By the way, I've had a tweet from someone about you've been wrong about the helicopters, because this guy said...
Which bit?
About how the rotor blades make all the noise.
Of course go on.
We're not going to go over the same thing, but anyway, it was told, this guy said he knew about helicopters.
You've met some guy who said, yeah, you're right, and he's wrong.
No, he tweeted me, I haven't even met him.
Right.
That's
definitive proof.
Well, I'm just saying, they're not... Yeah. Everybody doesn't agree with you.
What? Well, I'm sure they do.
Apologies to all Remainers if this offends them. That guy is a pain in the arse.
He's a pain in the arse, and he's not very nice either, I can tell you, because I've had a couple of run-ins with him.
Right, right.
Right, and he's very prone to immediately ramping up the kind of swearing content of what he says, and, you know, he's aggressive, he's horrible.
Right.
And frankly, he's not helping anybody. No. What's he doing?
I just used the word Remainer there. Yeah. And of course, that now is ridiculous, isn't it? Because there's no chance we're going to remain.
Well, there's no point anymore,
so
is there?
What I don't know is, what are we now? What are we called? You know, politically,
Are you even a thing? Would be my question.
Maybe not.
Maybe there's no more reason to be.
No. Well, there's a rejoiner, you know, I suppose you could...
But is that what you're going to be, though? Because what happens if, say, everything goes well?
Yeah.
Why would you want to rejoin?
Yeah.
What would be the reason for you to want to do that? I mean, funnily enough, I've been having the odd spat on Twitter, as you know, for quite a long time. This past weekend, I discovered there is a new substitute for FBPE.
Oh, yeah?
It's FBSI.
What does that stand for?
I presume the FB is still follow back.
Yeah.
SI being Scottish Independence.
Ah.
And all these nutty cyber gnats were on my case, because basically I put out what can only be described, I mean, you know me, right?
Yeah.
As a kind of tongue-in-cheek tweet to a guy where I basically said, look, mate, you are all subjects of Great Britain.
Yeah.
You have no rights whatsoever on your own, and you can only ever get independence if we decide to give it to you. And you should have seen
it. How did that go down?
You should have seen it. It got even funnier, however, the next day, where I declared that Scotland was not actually a country.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're still arguing with me like 5
well,
days
is
later.
Well, is it? It's a nation, right?
Well,
but it's not a country.
Interestingly enough, it depends on your definition.
Yeah.
It's called a country by the United Nations.
Right.
It's called a country by the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
But the definition of a country, technically speaking, is a territory with its own government.
Yeah.
Now,
well, it does have its own.
No.
And it certainly didn't, did it? So
well,
has it
I mean,
only
it has
just become?
It has a form of local government.
Yeah.
So I was saying to them, basically, it's a country like Richmond's a country. Richmond's got a local council, but they can't run everything that they want to do without recourse to the national parliament.
But they've got I think the Scottish Parliament's got the right to raise taxes, hasn't it? For
some instances, yes.
Yeah,
but of course, the SNP don't use all of those because they prefer to complain. But they don't have their own defence policy.
Yeah.
You know. They do have their own legal system. They do have their own
But they don't have their own. They don't have their own actual taxing organisation.
Right.
They still have to run it through HMRC.
Right.
So my argument was, and like all these things, you can make an argument work. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I can make it work.
Yeah.
You know, technically speaking, it does not fit the out and out definition of a country.
Were you trying to wind people up by any chance?
And of course, I was getting name. I was getting called all sorts of names. Right. Yeah. Here's one for you. This so one guy was stupid enough to say, "Don't worry, Mike. There's no point in." Looking towards the future because you look like you're going to have a coronary soon, right?
Cheeky bastard.
Unfortunately for him, it was quite late at night and his Twitter handle had a website listed on it, which I checked, and there was a phone number.
Oh, no!
So I rang him up. I rang him.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, which I've done before. I've done it before when people have given me lots of abuse. He answered, the first time it went to voicemail, so I thought I'll give it 5 minutes, I'll call it back.
Was it his mobile?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
He's a graphic designer.
What kind of idiot leaves a mobile number on the internet for? Oh my God.
And it's his business Twitter account.
Right, okay. Right. Well, I suppose that's fair enough.
If it's your business Twitter account, but you shouldn't go around abusing people.
Yeah,
on it, right?
No, quite.
And he then. So he answered the phone. I can't remember if his name was Dan or Don or something.
Yeah.
He said, "Oh, hello." I said, "Is that Dan?" "Yeah." He said, "Who's this?" I said, "It's Mike Graham."
Yeah.
He went, "What?" I said, "It's Mike Graham." "Oh." I said, "What do you think you're doing?"
Yeah.
And he said, "How do you mean?" I said, "Well, why do you think it's a good idea to wish somebody dead on Twitter? Are you actually wishing me to have a heart attack? You think that's a good idea?"
Terrible.
"Oh, well, I was only joking."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, it's not a joke to me, mate. I don't think it's a joke. I don't think most people would think it was a joke." And he said, "Well, why did you say Scotland isn't a country?" I'm like, "It's not really comparable." You know, we're having a conversation here and you're wishing me death.
Yeah.
I said, "You better be very careful about that."
Did he want to know where you got his details?
No, he eventually put his number. He just put the phone down.
Did he? But he was ashamed, was he?
No, I said, I think you should apologise.
Yeah, and he wouldn't.
Yeah, he wouldn't apologise. I've got a picture to show you.
Oh, of the tree.
Of the tree, right? Which I've now
lost. We should remind people, this was your Christmas tree, which had no roots, had a cut bottom, and you believe...
And I've replanted it in my garden.
You believe it's going to grow new roots.
And yes, and even as you say it, you can barely contain your mirth, right? Yeah. But look, this is after a week in the ground.
Let me see.
And it has not lost any of its greenery.
Right.
It has not turned brown.
No.
Right? I can tell you that...
Do you believe it is now drawing up...
Yes, I believe
nutrients and moisture.
I think so.
Without roots.
Yes, I think it is. Because
it's evolved to an extent.
Well, listen, I had a tweet from a guy who sent me a picture who said that he's replanted 3 trees in his garden, right?
Yeah.
From the Christmas scenario.
Yeah.
One of them's still alive.
He's taking the piss.
No, he's not. He showed me the picture and it's growing like video, right?
Well, I can't wait.
My youngest son has been put in charge of this and he was a bit worried because apparently all I did was literally stick it in a hole that happened to be in the garden, right?
Yeah.
And obviously it wasn't very stable.
Yeah.
And apparently it was quite windy last week. It blew down.
Blew up.
So he's dug a bigger hole and he's put it in properly. Right. So now it's absolutely properly implanted, rock solid, not going anywhere, even if, you know, Storm Brendan.
So just for everyone's clarity, you are still of the belief that this tree...
Well, it's not turned brown, look. It's still green.
But you still believe that this tree will grow new roots and will be alive and well...
I think so.
You're mad.
I don't think I am.
You're mad.
No.
And what about the worm? Because the other week you said that there was a worm.
I'm sure there is.
That
I haven't found it yet.
If you cut this worm in half, it turns into 2 worms.
Well, I've yet to find the actual species of worm that's in the world in question, but I'm sure there is one, because I'm sure that I've read about it somewhere.
Right. Well, if anybody knows, if anyone knows about this worm, or indeed any...
People have been making fun of me because of you, right?
Yeah.
After that last podcast went out, people have been ripping the piss out of me, saying, "You're an idiot."
Yes.
And, I mean, you know, you don't lose many arguments, but you've fucking lost this one. And so they're all on your side on this one. So once again, I'm going to have to prove
Well, look, I'm going to put out an appeal to try and help you. If anybody out there knows of any animal or plant that can be either have the root system taken off or can be cut in half and become 2 other animals.
Right.
Mike wants to know.
Listen, there are things that we don't know anything about, right?
There are.
There are creatures at the bottom of the sea.
Yeah, that you can cut them in half and they become 2.
Well, very possibly. There are sea snails,
Mind you, amoeba, I suppose, you know, they divide, don't they?
They do. Sponges as well. You can cut a sponge in half and it will become 2 sponges.
So can it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. If you cut one in half at home, you've got two sponges. What are you talking about?
You leave your sponge in the bath and see if it comes back to life.
No, I don't think it's
put
alive.
Some salt in
no,
it.
No, once you've got it home, it's not alive.
Like a Christmas tree, you mean?
No.
Ah.
No, you can replant those. There's no point planting a sponge, is there? That's not going to do any good. But here's the thing. Where they're in the sea, if you were to cut a sponge in half, like a piece of coral, right, it will grow somewhere else. It won't just die.
Well, I've no idea.
Yeah, but exactly, you have no idea. So you're going to try and make out that I'm wrong.
I'm ridiculing you without any basis of knowledge.
Well, you know, you've heard of the Mariana Trench, haven't you?
I have.
Which is the deepest
bit of deep,
as
the planet.
Brazil would say, the deep depth of the ocean. You can't say deep.
You don't say.
You can't get the lips immediately. So there are things down there that nobody even knows. They reckon that they've got sort of sea creatures that would be like, say, a seahorse or something, the size of a Cadillac. Joking, but there's a reason why,
a
right?
Cadillac.
Well, it could be a Vauxhall.
A seahorse the size of a car.
Yeah,
that's
because
brilliant.
You know why? What? Because the pressure's so high down there that like a lot of submarines can only go to a certain depth.
Yeah.
Because they would get crushed.
But seahorses can somehow grow giant things.
Well, they have to be giant.
Do they have little sea jockeys on them?
No, but they might have the little fan at the back that makes them go.
And now we're going to the 315 at the Marianas Trench, and it's animal doesn't exist ahead of...
Well, listen, you ridicule this, right?
Yes.
But it's true, because they say that everything is enlarged.
I love that.
Everything is enlarged by the size, because of the pressure of the water. And because if it's too small, it gets crushed.
That's now my second favourite Mike Graham fact.
Is
the first one is that the last ice age stopped at the bottom of Haverstock Hill.
Yeah, which is true.
And now that there's seahorses the size of Cadillacs.
Well, the world's a fantastic place. I mean, we've explored more of the space around us than we have of the actual planet we're on.
That's right.
Because they can't put... I think they've only just recently put somebody... in some kind of
James Cameron,
submersible.
You know, the guy who does Titanic, he's serious about it. Yeah,
I don't think he's done it yet, has he?
Well, he went down deeper than anybody's ever been before.
They had to build a specially enforced sort of dirigible of
to
some
stop
kind.
The seahorses from
stop,
tearing
well,
it apart.
You wouldn't be eaten by a giant seahorse, would you? Imagine that. Not what a very nice way to go. But they're meant to have like huge like water beetles and things as well. Which what?
I just love the specific nature of these animals that you know don't exist.
I don't know if they exist. I've never been down there.
But if no one knows they exist, but you've imagined.
Well, what about a lobster then? You've seen lobsters.
A lobster
before,
the
right?
size of what?
Could be the size of a 18-wheel truck or
something. A tennis court.
Yeah, or a house.
A house-sized lobster.
Imagine that.
Imagine feasting on that.
Yeah, you could have that for a long time.
Mm.
So, I mean, the point is there's a lot we don't know.
Certainly.
Because the Mariana Trench is as deep as Mount Everest is high.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could actually put Mount Everest into the Mariana Trench and you wouldn't see it.
Amazing.
Isn't that incredible?
It is incredible.
Mm. Now, here's the bit that you'll be most interested in. The Triclads are characterised by triply branched intestine and anteriorly situated ovaries next to the brain. And planaria exhibit an extraordinary ability to regenerate lost body parts. For example, a planarium split lengthwise or crosswise will regenerate into two separate individuals.
You're joking.
It's here.
Let me see that sentence.
There it is.
I don't believe it.
There, that is starts at the top there.
Let me just say.
Yeah. It's two separate individuals.
You sure? Is this on Wikipedia?
Yes.
Are you sure you haven't written this?
No, I haven't. This is true. This was sent to
you've
me.
You've just put this into Wikipedia.
This was sent
to make me look like a twat.
No, this was sent to me by a podcast
That's
listener.
Extraordinary.
Isn't that amazing?
Incredible. So you can split them in half.
And they grow into two separate individual cells. And two separate worms.
Amazing.
So you can apologise now.
I'm sorry.
You know.
How's your Christmas tree getting on?
It's looking good. I'll show you a picture. I'll show you the most recent picture.
Yeah.
There are some people who are saying it looks a bit browner than the last time, right? But I'm not buying it. I'll ask, because you're a man that knows a picture, because you used to know about putting newspaper articles together, right? So let me show you. Here it is. I think it's still looking pretty green.
Suddenly, I noticed there was fumes coming out of the car.
Right.
And then I looked at the glove box and there was smoke coming out of the glove box.
Dear God.
And I pointed to the glove box and the driver opened it and the engine was on fire and there were flames licking. The bloody car was on
Christ
fire.
Christ almighty.
So we got outside, the air was fine.
Woke up at about 8:30, couldn't get back to sleep. Had like 4 or 5 hours sleep.
Right.
And I was kind of lolling about, and I suddenly kind of sat straight up like this, and suddenly thought, Christ, what have we done?